Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us for this, the last edition of Catholic Views in 2018. That's exactly what we're going to talk about this morning, kind of looking back, looking ahead with Dr. Chris Bergwald and Chris Motes from the South Dakota Catholic Conference. I hope you'll stick around for that. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings for this Sunday. Don Wolf with the first and second reading. Deacon Bill Radio with the gospel.
A reading from the book of Sirach. God sets a father in honor over his children. A mother's authority he confirms over her sons. Whoever honors his father atones for sins and preserves himself from them. When he prays, he is heard. He stores up riches who reveres his mother. Whoever honors his father is gladdened by children, and when he prays, is heard. Whoever reveres his father will live a long life. He who obeys his father brings comfort to his mother. My son, take care of your father when he is old. Grieve him not as long as he lives. Even if his mind fail, be considerate of him. Revile him not all the days of his life. Kindness to a father will not be forgotten. Firmly planted against the debt of your sins, a house raised in justice to you. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, put on, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. And over all these, put on love. That is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ control your hearts, the peace into which you were also called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as in all wisdom you teach and admonish one another, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, as is proper in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and avoid any bitterness toward them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this is pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, so they may not become discouraged. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord.
And now with a look at news highlights from this past week from the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the Most Reverend Paul J. Swain, Bishop of Sioux Falls, recently prayed for the 7 candidates for the permanent diaconate during the candidacy mass at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Sioux Falls. The candidates are Louis Guyani of St. Peter Parish in Jefferson, Jonathan Eckrich of St. Mary Parish in Sioux Falls, Jeff Swank of Sacred Heart Parish in Aberdeen, Douglas Schuler of Saints Peter and Paul Parish in Pier, Bradley Palmer, also of Saints Peter and Paul Parish in Pier, Peter Sexton of St. Teresa of Avila Parish in Beersford, and Dan Sherban of St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Madison. You can read and see more about the candidates for the permanent diaconate in the January edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese soon and online now at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, delivering his formal Christmas message and blessing, Pope Francis prayed for a world where all people would recognize that they are brothers and sisters and would work for justice and for peace. The birth of Jesus proclaims that God is a good father and we are all brothers and sisters. This truth is the basis of the Christian vision of humanity, the Pope said on Christmas Day before giving his blessing, Urbi et Orbe, to the city and the world, and appealing for peace in Syria, Ukraine, the Holy Land, Yemen, Venezuela, Nicaragua, and throughout Africa. Tens of thousands of people gathered in St. Peter's Square under clear blue skies for the blessing, and millions more watched on television or on computers, tablets, and phones. The Pope's blessing went to all of them. May the little child whom we contemplate today in the manger in the cold of the night watch over all the children of the world and every frail, vulnerable, and discarded person, Pope Francis said. Michael Warren Davis says he is still pinching himself that at age 24, he is the U.S. editor of the Catholic Herald, a British publication that launched a U.S. edition in mid-November. The Herald, in its 130-year history, has featured such esteemed writers as Evelyn Waugh, Graham Greene, and J.R.R. Tolkien. We don't consider ourselves competition with anyone else in the United States, Davis told Catholic News Service. I think the country benefits from having a variety of viewpoints and styles of publications. The Catholic Herald, he said, has been called the Catholic Economist, referring to another British-based publication whose primary focus is world events, politics, and business, and also has regular sections on science and technology and on books, literature, and the arts. Davis said the Catholic Herald, which for most of its life was a newspaper and became a magazine in 2014, covers the Catholic Church with editorials and stories that try to take a more analytical approach on a subject to give readers a deeper understanding of church issues and current affairs. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
That's very good, Gene. Thanks so much. Let's move on to our interview. This morning at Catholic Views, we bring to you the last program for 2018. I can hardly believe it. With me to help deliver that are the Chrises, Chris Bergwald and Chris Motes. Chris Motes, the executive director of the South Dakota Catholic Conference, and Chris Bergwald, of course, from the Discipleship and Evangelization adult portion of that office. So good to have you both there.
Thanks, Jerry.
Good to be with you.
And so, just maybe you want to distinguish, maybe you can call me Dr. Chris, and he's just Chris. Say that, just Chris.
You want me to say no. Just Chris? You're both eminent in your own. You're both eminent in your own ways.
This is radio, so the listeners can't see how I'm looking at Dr. Chris.
No, but they
right
can
now
feel it.
Yeah. I'm getting the end of the year zings, the final zings of the year.
We're getting him at, less than a minute into the program, I've already lost control.
Yes, sorry, Jerry.
But here we go. Now, what we want to do today is talk a little bit about some of the things of this past year, maybe some deeper meanings to some of them that might help us to put things into context. And in a sense, that, of course, launches us into 2019 as well. So that's kind of our simple task for today. I think we have to start with the biggest thing in the room, the elephant in the room, if you will. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I do think we have to mention it. And that, of course, is the ongoing challenge of dealing with sexual abuse. It has come to be seen, unfortunately, as a church issue. And I think that's where we really got to make sure people understand this is a societal issue that we're dealing with, not just a church issue, not denying that there's issues that the church has that they have to deal with. But I think we do ourselves just a great disservice if we stop there, because we know that abuse happens in the families. It happens in all kinds of places. So I don't know. That's kind of where I wanted to talk about that a little bit.
I think the dimension that I've been focusing on with people is because people have understandably been upset and even angry as some of the revelations of this summer and even into the fall came out. My big thing that I hope to the degree that it's still on people's minds is to make sure and channel that anger. I know you and I have talked before off the air. I was really grateful for Bishop Swain's invitation from late in the summer for us to pray and maybe even fast, not because we've done anything wrong, but because our prayer and fasting can really rebuild the church in a spiritual way. It's a spiritual reality that we belong to the church, not just the institutional reality. And so sometimes that might be all, that's all that most of us can do. You know, you and I, Chris, the three of us, our prayer and fasting is probably the most effective thing that we can do. So this is a serious thing. It's more than just the church. Everywhere that this is involved, I think that's what we have to keep in mind. I can do something about it, even though I was not the perpetrator. I can do this for the victims and for the church as a whole.
Yeah, Chris makes a great point. And I think, you know, there are people responsible for governance and processes and procedures, both in civil authority, but also in religious authority that are having, you know, really compelling discussions right now about maybe changes that need to be made to processes and procedures. But I really like Chris's point is that fundamentally there's spiritual food for all of us to seek in all of this. Mm-hmm. The spiritual food of prayer and fasting and you know what it means for each of our hearts and each of our own faith life.
And I guess as members of the body of Christ, that's what we do.
Right.
For each other, whether we're directly involved or not.
Right. I think one thing that people have sort of maybe sometimes misunderstood about this, again, and I touched on it already, the fact of the matter is that it's not saying, you know, oftentimes prayer and fasting we do, Jerry, because I sinned and I'm doing penance.
Right.
We're not saying that at all here.
Yeah.
It's not, you did nothing wrong. If you're the third party, obviously as a victim. But what we can do to build up the body of Christ, to heal the wounded bride of Christ, is prayer and fasting.
All right. Again, this is an ongoing topic. We know it's going to be a part of 2019. So in a sense, we are launching into 2019 a bit because there is a gathering in Rome of the presidents of all of the conferences of Catholic bishops from around the world. And I guess I kind of like the fact that finally the church is taking a rather comprehensive look at this.
Mm-hmm.
We are a universal body. We ought to respond in a universal way. And I guess I have some hope that this really will be the beginning of what I hope is finally of a full healing of this topic.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. So, all right, had to talk about that a little bit, but now I want to get on to kind of the other things. Did either of you have something in particular that you really want to make sure we covered today as we talk about 2018 leading into 2019?
I had a couple little things. This is more of a thematic thing, and you could probably pick this out every year. But I was, as I was looking at the show, looking at kind of what happened in 2018. You and I were talking, a lot of the retrospectives aren't out yet,
right,
literally, as we're recording this. But was looking back, and just three things in particular, I think, that happened this year secularly that I think are interesting for us to think about. First of all, March 25th, we as Catholics, we tend to think about, because it is the solemnity of the Annunciation. We've just celebrated Christmas. 9 months ago, we were celebrating the Annunciation when Jesus came to dwell in Mary's womb, because Gabriel appeared to Mary. So that was also the day when Qantas Airlines first flew a jet from London Heathrow Airport to Perth, Australia.
Nonstop.
First flight from London to Australia, nonstop. So that's one thing. March 25th. On August 2nd, Apple Incorporated, the company Apple, who makes our iPhones and iPods and so on, hit a company value of $1 trillion. So at least back on August 2nd, if you had $1 trillion in your pocket, you could have bought. So the first time any company has ever surpassed $1 trillion in its worth. And then finally, more recently, on November 5th, Voyager 2, which was launched in 1977, I remember it well, left the solar system. Voyage, you left the solar system. What's the theme there to be?
I'm waiting to hear this.
Technology.
Yeah.
What the human spirit, what human ingenuity has been able to do, where you've got a plane, and again, long flights are not anything new, but first time that somebody could fly from London to Australia nonstop. Yeah. Voyager 2. This is actually the third or fourth satellite that's left the solar system. And then we have a company that's worth $1 trillion.
Focused on technology.
A tech
focused
company.
On yeah. technology. Yeah. Yeah. And so the bill, what we're able to do, and yet I think the thing for us to keep in mind going forward and thinkers, just because we can do it, should we do it? Now, the three examples that I gave, I think they're fine. They're good. They're amazing. But they prompted me, technology, because we can, we should. Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. That was the theme that came to mind. Chris, you seemed like you were chomping at the bit.
Well, this exact question or this exact point is made at the start of an essay written by Elizabeth Anscombe a number of years ago.
And a philosopher,
yeah,
right?
A philosopher. And just to tie it into the year 2018, it was also this year the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae.
Right.
On my list, by the way.
Yeah. Technology. That's technology.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. So, and she makes that exact point, commenting on contraceptive technology, that when something is possible, we have a hard time saying no to it. Mm-hmm. You know, and this, you know, me kind of operating, working in the political world, this has come up in recent discussions with legislators. One of them recently said to me, Chris, the world is changing faster than ever. And he was making a point about technology. He said, and that's, he was offering an encouragement to me in my work for the church. Okay. The church's voice is more important than ever. You know, when we're talking ethics, faith, and morals, in helping people process these changes.
You've made the point, Chris Motes. I gotta identify my Chris's as we talk.
Doctor and Jess, but whatever.
Chris Motes from the South Dakota Catholic Conference. You've made that point, I know, on a number of occasions, that our ethics have a hard time keeping up with our technology, and maybe that's another aspect of this that we got to just keep our eye on.
Yeah, and I had no idea what Chris was going to say before we sat down here, so I'm just really fascinated that you point to this as your kind of theme for the year 2018. Yeah. I think it's insightful.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think
I don't disagree.
I want to touch on this, focus again on Humanae Vitae a little bit. The reason why now Saint Paul VI had to issue the encyclical was precisely because the idea of a pill that could change the hormone cycle of a woman's body, therefore a technology, was a new mechanism to address the question of whether or not you're going to have a child, when, where, and so on. And so it was precisely the church having to evaluate, talk about ethics catching up with technology, the church having to evaluate a new, if you will, piece of technology, in this case, a hormone pill, to see what are the ethical, moral implications of this technology. We have, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
And that's not going to change, is it, guys?
No.
I mean, that's we're on the, I mean, it's exponential how it keeps evolving. And that's... Yeah, so it's a really important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah, so.
All right.
Those are I have more, but I don't want to. No,
have I exhausted?
No, not at all.
Well, on the idea of themes, the one that really struck me this year was the church had a gathering of Hispanics in the United States called the fifth encounter. It's a gathering of Hispanics. It's obviously the fifth time that it's happened, and the magnitude of that event, I think, should not be overlooked. Because of how our church is changing, how our country is changing, and not in a good way, I would say, in a very good way, in a healthy way. But it's going to have impact, has had impact. It's going to have more impact. Again, one of those things that's going to continue to evolve, I think, huh?
Yeah, especially. So I don't know a lot about the Encuentros, but what I know about them, I love. I mean, it's a way in which it's focused on the Hispanic community within the church,
right?
Not just in the United States, but throughout the Americas, looking at the questions of close to my heart, evangelization, discipleship, catechesis, and so on. I love that they're focusing on it, that they do, again, sort of what you said earlier, Jerry, about the church as a whole is addressing the question, will be addressing the question of sex abuse. This is not the church necessarily global. globally in this context, but at least in hemispherically, addressing the question of how do we more effectively engage people, at least of this particular cultural background and context.
And I think it's so important, again, for those of us who aren't of that background to, in a sense, to understand some of that. These are people that have incredibly deep faith. These are people that have had the first devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe, and who can teach us so much if we allow it.
Yeah, that's right. And just to kind of keep it in historical context too, if you look back 130 years ago, there were between 700 and 800 newspapers in the United States of America written in the German language.
Yeah.
So, you know, America has been through, we're a melting pot. We've been through immigration moments before. So it's, in a certain sense, this is part and parcel with the American way, is wrapping our arms around new groups of people. And I love the point that, what a deep faith, that there are really gifts that Hispanic immigrants have to offer us as well. Really, faith being prime among them, that devotion to Our Lady.
Yeah, absolutely so. So again, I think something we encountered in 2018 is going to continue to be in our midst into 2019, and obviously long beyond that as well. Chris Bergwald, one that you might want to touch on a little bit. We certainly talked about it on this program a couple of times, but the Holy Father's document that he put out early in the year, the encyclical letter, titled Rejoice and Be Glad, that call to holiness. I don't want people to forget that, because we can so easily forget that that is our call.
Yeah, you and I talked about that, I think this spring or summer on Catholic Views, and it really is. I mean, there are some documents that to me are Francis through and through. I mean, everything that he writes, of course, is his in a formal sense, but some of them are, you can tell, are closer to his heart.
Yeah.
They're much more written how he speaks and so on. The Joy of the Gospel to me is the one for him.
I'd agree.
But then I put this right behind that. Gaudete et exultate, I think is the title, yes, if I'm remembering. Rejoice and exult, yep. Be glad. And it really is a beautiful, it's a simple document, good examples, very readable. We're already at the end of Advent, but maybe for your Lenten spiritual reading in 2019, I'd highly recommend that, of course, like all Vatican documents, you can read it online, print it off for free. Make that your Lenten reading for 2019.
Yeah, it's a great way to tie it into next year. Good job.
Thanks,
you're kind
Jerry.
Of getting the
Thanks,
flow
Jerry.
Of this, aren't you?
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. I don't know. Chris, do you use some of, I know you do actually use some of those documents as you try to work with those that you work with, because you're a resource.
Yeah, absolutely. And, this gaudy, the Joy of the Gospel being in many ways kind of a foundational document, even for the Catholic Conference, where the Pope says, the church, we need to do everything in a missionary key. Like literally everything we're doing as a church has got to be in a missionary key. And that's the same tone and tenor Catholic Conference has up in the Capitol building is, there's a bright light for people who walked in darkness. So it's not, beating anybody over the head with a system of rules, but the introduction to a relationship with the Lord that's got great meaning for us in our everyday life. So yeah, I don't leave home without the catechism and each one of those documents that the Holy Father and, not just Francis, but Benedict, John Paul and popes before them also.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, we've already referenced Humanae Vitae, of course, from Pope Paul VI, Saint Pope Paul VI.
Yep.
Now
yep.
That also happened in 2018.
Yep.
I don't think we're going to have time to get into the new saints made this year, but it's an interesting topic all by itself. Another topic that's going to span 2018 into 2019, and we don't exactly know the timeline, is the fact that we have a bishop who hit retirement age.
Yep.
That's kind of a big deal.
It is a big deal. Bishop Dwayne turned 75 on September 12th, had submitted his letter. So, and literally any day now, we could get word that the Holy Father's accepted Bishop Swain's retirement and is named so-and-so. Could be a priest, as Bishop was before his appointment. Could be a current bishop somewhere else as the next bishop of the Diocese of Sioux Falls.
Think about that, though, in terms of what that means to a diocese, right? That's what I wanted to get at a little bit is, he doesn't like it when we talk about, legacy and all that stuff.
Here.
He really doesn't. He really doesn't want us to do that. But the truth of the matter is, a bishop as the leader of a diocese has tremendous impact. It's huge.
Yeah. So I just recently was talking about with a group of people how the bishop is the first, in my world, first catechist, the first evangelist. Not necessarily that he's the first that everybody sees, but he's the primary evangelist, primary catechist, because he, with his brother bishops, are the successors of the apostles from whom we get everything that Jesus gave us.
Yeah.
I think so often, Jerry, bishops are viewed sort of as middle management. You know, between retail, so to speak, the parishes, our pastors and our associate priests, and then headquarters in Rome.
Yeah.
But a bishop is much more than just middle management.
Yeah, absolutely. So you get to work with two of them.
I know. It's, yeah, and it. I've been here a year now working with Bishop Swain. Has been great because, of course, his background in law and politics, but just, you know, his wisdom as a pastor has been, I've been really appreciative of it my first year. And I've been hearing from a lot of people, even non-Catholics in South Dakota, you know, they don't really know what the process is
right.
for finding a new bishop, but they know that, okay, something happened. And I've heard a number of times, oh, does he really have to go? And it's like, well, you know, it's not really in his power or control. We'll all miss him.
Yeah.
When the time comes, but that, you know, that time does come for all of us, even for bishops.
Yeah, it does. And he'd be the first to say that.
Yeah.
He'd be the absolute first to say it. So again, another topic that we're going to be following into 2019 and will have again, lasting impact. Gosh, guys, just a minute or two left here this morning. I know we want to talk about some events too. And right. Chris, I know in particular you want to talk about the Women's Conference.
Yeah. So this year, this bridges both years. 2018, we had our first ever Diocesan Women's Conference on April 14th. Of course, there was a blizzard that day, but I will remember that event for the rest of my life, literally, because despite literally the blizzard, over half of the women, over 300 women who had registered, we'd sold out. Obviously, many understandably couldn't get there. But the fact that we had 350 women show up was a powerful thing. We're looking forward to next year's 2019 on June 15th. We're blizzard-proofing this year's.
We'll see. God willing.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I'm gonna rattle off a couple things. You guys can comment on any of them quickly if you'd like that we didn't get to. The monastery for the Adoration Sister was completed.
Amen.
We had a national gathering of the Catholic Daughters of America that was hosted in our diocese. There was also a regional stewardship conference that happened. We talked about the 50th anniversary of Humanae Vitae, but there's also the 50th anniversary of the permanent diaconate, which has huge impact in our diocese.
Absolutely.
As well. So just, there's a lot of stuff.
A lot of good stuff happening.
Yeah.
A year goes by quickly, but it's longer than we think. And there was a lot that happened this year.
Full year. Yeah.
And a lot of good.
Amen.
Good stuff. To your point at the very beginning, Chris, this is what our faith and what our church is all about.
Amen.
And we hope to keep it that way.
Amen.
Chris Motes, Chris Bergwald. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you.
Gina mentioned last show of the year, so Happy New Year to everyone.
Happy and Holy New Year to everyone.
We pray everyone will have a very blessed 2019. That's our time for Catholic Views today. We'll be back next Sunday.